All right. Well, good morning. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, and we'll continue to systematically go through the Word of God as we prepare our hearts for communion and get our hearts examined here this morning as we're looking at Jesus, back at Jesus, and he was talking about not putting your trust in food and in clothing, and he gave us four illustrations regarding that. Regarding the ravens and checking out the ravens and the lilies and how God provides for them. And the bottom line was is that Jesus was, and you got to remember, he's talking to his disciples. First, he was talking to his disciples first, and then he was talking to his friends. Now he's talking back with the disciples and telling them, you know, we need to trust God and we need to trust his abilities into meeting our needs when it comes to food, when it comes to clothing, when it comes to the necessities of life. God will provide, as we're going to see. And so it might seem like we're talking about the same thing, but Jesus, he continues to bring up talking about not to be anxious about what we're going to wear. So I want you to look at verse 29, because we're going to pick up here in verse 29. But let's pray first. Yeah. Father God, we do thank you this morning. As we look to your word, Father, thank you that it is sweet as honey unto our lips. Thank you that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it can divide between the flesh and the spirit, and how it seeks and it goes deep within the inner man and the inner woman. And so we pray, Father, that your word this morning will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So bless us, and may not one word touch the ground, but may it pierce the heart of your people. And give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. How many of you got your favorite verses, right? We all got favorite verses. How many got more? How many of you honestly have just one favorite verse? Yeah, maybe a couple of us. I used to say, okay, I have one, but I tell you, I have so many favorite verses. And they're just so promising. And each verse that we hold dear to our hearts, that's a promise of God. And as we're going to see, God can't lie. And I think we need to remember that. But look at verse 29. Now, Jesus goes on, he's talking to his disciples, and he says once more, he says, "Do not seek what you should eat or what you shall drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." So just in these two verses, we're going to see a lot here, because I want you to see what Jesus is really saying here. And just in these two verses, these two scriptures here, guys, they're not challenging you, okay? Jesus is not challenging you. He's not saying, okay, I want to challenge you to keep these two verses. What Jesus is doing in these two verses is he's commanding you, okay? There's a difference. He's not challenging you. He's commanding you. He's commanding you to keep your focus and your life upon the Lord and the work and the calling that he has put before you. That's what he's commanding you to do. Look to the Lord. And Jesus, he gives us two reasons why he's commanding us for us to seek him and the things of God, to seek the things of the Lord. And the first reason is this. And if you have a pencil, I want you to write it down. Take notes. Because here's the first reason why he's commanding us. And that he says this: if we get caught up in seeking after food, after clothing, you know, he says that's worldliness. It's called worldliness. And he says that's what the world promotes. Look at verse 30. He says, "For the nations and the world seeks after those things." And so if we seek after them, it's called worldliness. Because the world, it centers itself around getting more and more. We see it today. They're consumed by it. You see it on TV, right? You look at the TV. It's on TV. It's on social media. It's advertised everywhere. And those who don't have the Lord will seek after getting more and more of what the world has to offer. I heard a neat, I don't know how many of you are watching David Jeremiah this morning, but when I'm ironing my clothes, I kind of listen to him. And he says something about how we need to, there's a difference between your spiritual body and your physical body. There's a big difference. He says that when you feed your spiritual body, You become more and more hungry. When you feed your physical body, you tend to satisfy your hunger. And then he went on and says, and if you don't feed your spiritual body, then you starve. And you won't desire to want to eat anymore. But if you don't feed your physical body, you become more hungry and more hungry and more hungry. So again, the significance here is that if those who are seeking, who are not seeking the Lord, but seeking these material things, the more you don't seek after God first, and the more you're going to want more, you're going to seek more and more. And again, that's called worldliness. And life to the world, to them, is food, drink, and possession. It's all about, and you heard the saying, keeping up with the Joneses, right? How many of you heard that saying, right?
Yeah.
Keep up. My question I want to know is, who are the Joneses?
Uh-huh.
You ever ask yourself, who are the Joneses? Well, apparently the Joneses, they must have the houses, the furnishings, the position to get these things, the recognition, the money, the latest styles, and the things just to keep up with everybody else. But not a believer, okay? Jesus said we're not to seek after those things. We have to be different.
Amen.
Well, let me ask you this morning, are you different this morning? Jesus said we are to be what? Seeking the kingdom of God and trust that God will provide the things we need. And when we need them as well. Now, the second reason is found in verse 30. Look at verse 30. He says this, and be encouraged. He says, your Father knows what? Isn't that encouraging, knowing that your Father knows that you need these things? Guys, God knows what we need. Therefore, we as his children, we need to know that God knows about our needs, right? And not just know it, guys, but we have to live it and we have to trust God. We have to trust in his ability to meet our needs for food and clothing and the necessity of life. Because if we allow God to meet those needs, then we don't have to maintain it. God will maintain it. We don't have to worry about it. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark, same with Luke. He says, Jesus said, hey, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
Amen.
Do you believe?
Believe.
You got to believe. And believing is what? Faith. It's just trusting in God. I used to think, okay, faith. I don't have that type of faith. I don't have that faith. Well, do you have faith that's the size of a mustard seed?
Amen.
That's all you need. That's just a little bitty, bitty, tiny seed. And he said, that's all you need. It's that much of faith, and that's all you need, because God does the rest. Listen to what David said in Psalms 37. It's our responsibility. You know, he says in a time when things are tough and you're up against persecution, you're up against trials, hard times, he says, we as Christians, we still have a responsibility. And I want you to listen to what he says. First of all, he says, you have to trust in the Lord and you have to do good. You have to dwell in the land. You have to feed on his faithfulness. You have to delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desire of your heart. You have to commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as a new day. And then you have to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And see, that's our responsibility as a Christian. Those are our requirements that we need to do. It's just wait on the Lord. Wait patiently for him. I mean, thank God he's patient with us, right? He's patient with the world. In fact, it tells us in Peter, he said that God is long-suffering and patient, lest any should perish at all come to eternal life. We need that type of patience. I don't know about you, but people say don't pray for patience. I disagree. I think we should pray for patience because we need patience. We lack patience. Every one of us, you know, you want it now. It's like, you ladies, I look at you ladies, you look like Veruca. And give it to me now, you know. And you guys look like Augusta Gloop, you know. And I can't remember what his thing was, but we want it now. But God is long-suffering. And you better thank him that he is, because we wouldn't be here right now. If I was God, there'd be no one left in this world. I'd be like this. Oh, yeah? Oh, you're going to run? Yeah? You know? Or boom, pick you up, boom, you know. God is long-suffering and patient, lest any should perish, but all come to eternal life. Don't play God. I tried it. I tried to play God with a bunch of ants. I didn't have patience. Took my burr knife. Knife went through the table, and I stabbed myself in the leg, and I had to go to the hospital. You know, that's what happens when you try to play God. But now look at verse 31. Look what Jesus said in verse 31. He said, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's the answer to the world right there. If the whole world can just seek the kingdom of God, everything else will fall right into place. Oh, yeah, really. That'd be so true. If we can just seek God's kingdom, then everything else is going to fall right into place. And then he goes into verse 32 and he says, and do not fear, little flock. And this encourages me because, you know, we are a small few, but we are strong when he surrounds us. Amen. And he says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms, and provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven, in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, what? That's where your heart will be also. So, guys, Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of God. You know what that is? That's focusing our lives upon the kingdom of God and the work that God has given us to do. Amen. That life, that's the life that God requires us to live. It's a requirement. God, he shows us what he requires of us. Are you doing that? Are you first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I like that song, you know, where I'll sing it to you. It says, put your hands in the hands of the man who steal the waters. I guess I wasn't born when that song came out. That goes way back. That's a beautiful song. I heard it on the radio the other day, and I was singing. I was excited because I knew who it was talking about. God, put our hands in the hands of the one who could calm the seas. And Jesus, he gives us three promises if we do. And he also gives us warning if we don't. You got to remember, Jesus was always saying, do, do, do. But he didn't give up on saying don't as well. He gives us three promises here in verse 31 and 34. And that first promise is this, that God will provide for the person who seeks him first. I mean, you guys agree with that? That's a promise. And he makes it very clear here in verse 31. Seeking God first should be our highest priorities. It should be our highest goal, our highest commitment and standard in our life. I mean, that's the greatest vow that anyone could ever make next to doing your wedding vows. It's more than it, but it's more than all these things because it's a lifestyle, guys. It should be in every act, every thought, every word, every behavior when it comes to seeking the kingdom of God. It's a lifestyle. And the second promise, write it down. It says here that God will give the kingdom to those who are really seeking him and his abilities to provide. He says that in verse 32. And I want you also to notice here in verse 32 that Jesus says, he says, little flock, okay? Now that term, little flock, it tells us two things. One, it tells us that the numbers are small there when he was talking. That means only a few were really seeking God's kingdom first. And his promise to care for them. Well, let me tell you this, guys. God said in Hebrews chapter 6, 18, the writer here, he said, it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. God cannot lie. It's impossible. Isn't that encouraging? So if he promises that he will give you the kingdom, if you really are seeking him and his ability to provide, he's going to care for us. It's a promise. I know the flesh and the devil, he likes to say, oh, look, yeah, God's not providing. So sometimes we get in the flesh, come on, God, why aren't you doing this? And we get frustrated. If we're not patient, that's why you got to pray for it. But God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Okay, that's the second promise. God will give you the kingdom to those who are really seeking after him and his ability to provide. But also, Jesus is the good shepherd, and his true followers are the sheep of his pasture. Now, I want to do this, okay? You guys know, I'm sure a lot of you know Psalms 23 by heart. Okay, we're going to read it together. I don't want you to turn there. Because you won't be able to get back fast enough. But just if you know it, I'm going to read it, and you can read it along with us, because I think Psalms 23 is a beautiful picture of God providing. So look at listen and follow after me. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord
forever.
That's a long time. Forever. Forever. Say it. Forever. That's a long time. Man, it's forever. Okay? Now the third promise, write it down. God gives treasure that don't age. It's not corrupt. And they can't even be stolen. Isn't that awesome? Look at verse 33. He says, Jesus says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is saying here in verse 33, he says, sell what you have and you give alms. I mean, when you give to somebody, that's showing tender mercy. It's being compassionate to others. And this is exactly what Jesus believed in so strongly. He was always giving. Now I want to share a few scripture here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Listen, Paul said this, let him who stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. In Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 10, says, therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. So, and you know, I'm going to take this a little further than just giving and meeting somebody's need. I'm going to take it a little further, because would you agree we live in a world that is so needy? We live in a world that's lost, that's dying, many are going to hell. And now that our need for salvation is met, your need for salvation is met, we are saved, you agree? We need to take what we have and use it to meet the needs of others. They need to be saved as well. And giving salvation to others, it doesn't matter what position or profession you have. It doesn't matter what kind of income you make. The Lord has met our need to be saved. And now he requires that we meet the needs of others. Tell them about the salvation message through Jesus Christ. Guys, not only are we commanded to work here, he tells us we got to work so that we can have more and we can give to the needy, to those who are needy, especially give back to God our first fruits. But we are commanded to take the gospel to the world around us, across the street, and around the world. I think we need to make t-shirts with that. Or get tattoos. Right? Get tattoos. You know? Put it on the wall. That's a great vision statement right there. Across the street and around the world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, you know, well, Jesus came and he spoke to him saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And afterward, it said what? Amen. Yeah, get back. Bye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Listen to what Paul said. He said, the writer says, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Again, that one verse where it says, hey, labor, work with your hands, and do what is good, that you may have something to give to him who is in need. So would you agree that everything on this earth breaks down? It fails, it's corrupt, and it can be stolen. It can be stolen. We had things stolen here in the sanctuary during service. I remember Pastor Tony, he had a briefcase one time. At the end of the service, he put it down there by the sound booth, and everybody's fellowshipping and everything. All of a sudden, he turned around, and it was gone. And in the mail, he got his IDs and everything back in the mail, but everything else was gone. In the church. So again, things can be stolen, but if you use only what you need and then you give back to the Lord, he says your bags will be filled with the real treasure that is in heaven, and that no one that will not break down, that will not age, that will never fail or be corrupt, and no one can steal it. When I went to Nebraska, I hate Nebraska. I went to Nebraska, my uncle's house, and we were leaving. He was taking us somewhere, and I said, hey, are you going to lock your door? He said, no. I said, no, you're not going to lock it. Why? Why should I? Nebraska, in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, they don't have to lock things up. And I'm like, wow, good thing, I know the Lord, and being, a criminal out there in Nebraska, you got free reign in their homes. He left his keys in the car. And I'm thinking, hey, your keys? He goes, yeah, that's fine. I couldn't, it was weird to me knowing that they leave their doors open, their windows open, the keys in the car, and just leave it there in the driveway. They didn't have to worry about anybody stealing this stuff. You can't do that here. Here, you might as well put a sign, hey, free, take it. Enter in, Ephesians chapter 6, 8, listen to what Paul said. Remember, the Lord will pay you for each good thing you do, whether you are slave or free. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not grow weary in doing good, and for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all. Again, especially to those who are the household of faith. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then last, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to what Paul says. He says, if anybody builds on this foundation, which is gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. God's going to bless us if we do good. But we're not doing it for that. Just so, God, I want to be, I feel like I want to be blessed. Today, I think I'll do something good. Oh, you know what? I want more money here. Here, take all the money I have. Because, okay, God, come on. Fill my wallet. Steal it. Okay, I'll wait, Lord. God knows our heart. And Jesus, he says, you know what? He wants us to do good, build on that foundation of Christ, and he's our foundation. And then he goes on, and you know what? Jesus, he gives this warning, right? He warns his followers, and he says that, you know what? Their heart is going to be where their treasure is. Look at verse 34. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the warning here. That's the warning that Jesus is telling his disciples here. If their treasure is in the world, then you're going to end up living for the world. Their hearts will be in the world. If you regard your material possessions as your treasure, and you're seeking more and more, then your heart is set on this world, on this earth. Listen to what this one pastor said. He said, if a person's primary interests are earthbound, that is where his or her commitment will be. I agree with that. Remember, this all came on when that one man in the crowd stood up and his heart was in his inheritance. And he wanted Jesus to help him to get it from his brother. So Jesus was warning the disciples. And I really believe that he's warning us as well. And that is in verse 34, is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Remember, he said in Matthew 6 that no one can serve two masters, for they either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then last, John, 1 John chapter 2. I love the way John puts it. He says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. And that that word love there, it's the word for agape. You can't love the world like you love God. You can't agape the world. You agape God, but you can't agape the world. He said, those who love the world or agape the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will what? Abide forever. Isn't that beautiful? That's a promise. We will abide forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. I love what Paul said here. He says, so what is our hope? I'm going to ask you that question. Let it be questions here. What is your hope, guys? Don't answer it. Think of it. What is your hope? What is your joy? Or what is your crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. I think what Paul is saying is what was Paul's joy, what was his hope, what was his rejoicing? It was the fact that he was reminding the Thessalonian believers there that they were special to him, that he could never forget them because they were his glory, they were his joy, that crown of rejoicing, his fruit of victory, because and they became his special treasure, and because and they're stored in heaven. Why? Because they were saved. What is your hope? What is your joy? Because is it because you are saved? Or is it found in materialism? Is it found in a person? Is it found in things of this world? You are saved. And that can never be stolen. That can never be taken. No one can ever take that from you, not even Satan. If you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, nobody can ever say you're not saved. Because God's promise says you are. It can never be stolen. It can never be broken down or corrupt. Those souls that were brought to Jesus, they were saved by Paul. And they became his treasure, his hope. And they were stored up in heaven. The things of and those things of God that are in our lives, in the lives of others, can never be stolen. Satan tries to steal them from us, but they can't. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. As we prepare our hearts for communion right now, is that, you know what? What is your hope? What is your joy? What is your rejoicing in? Is it in the things of this world that Jesus said, you know what, we can't serve and we're going to hate one and we're going to hate the other? Or is it in God? Is it in the Lord? Are you agaping God? Are you agaping the world? So as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want you to think right now about those questions that Paul asked right now. I'm going to throw them out to you again. And I want you to think about this as we prepare for communion. He says, what is your hope? What is your joy? What is your crown of rejoicing?